Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, and today I'll be talking about this week's Teen Mom episode and some really juicy behind-the-scenes updates from a little Instagram live session that I dropped in on that was hosted by not one, but two of our Before the 90 Days ladies. Without further ado, let's get this train wreck moving. Okay, let's start with Teen Mom. Now, I didn't watch the Barb versus Janelle special that MTV aired because, quite frankly, I cannot take any more fighting between these two than I have to. Also, every fight starts and ends the same way, so why revisit or analyze when we know all these arguments like the back of our hand? So let's start this week's episode with our Deepak Chopra of West Virginia, Leah. Leah must be taking a break from her stressful motivational speaking tour because she's back to her double wide and relaxing in her Barca lounger. She's dressed up for us and is wearing Claire's Boutique signature summer headband. The dog is mauling Addie on the floor. I'm not talking about Gracie. It was actually a dog. I'm not that mean yet. And little Addie takes Allie's knee pads and starts running off. Now, because Leah is full of apathy and empty threats when the cameras are not around, Addie is like, yeah, see ya, and ignores Leah's comments to stop and runs away. Now, my little Allie on her lap, the one with the glasses, says, oh, she won't get to go to Walmart. It's so funny to me how these girls love Walmart. It's a punishment to my kids to have to go to Walmart for something. And to be honest, it is for me too. Maybe it's just my local Walmart, but the lighting is dim, the feeling is cold, there's no love in the air. I'm more a Target kind of girl. I feel like I'm getting a warm hug from my guardian angels when I enter a Target. And when I walk into a Walmart, I feel like I'm getting kicked in an ovary. So anyway, there's some sort of allowance negotiation that takes place between a screaming, kicking Addie and Leah, and it went something like this. Leah's saying, that's $2 right now, that's $3, that's $4, no allowance. Is this some kind of a deduction system? Does she really give her four-year-old daughter $4 a week? That's a lot to me. I mean, I would move in with Leah if I got paid $4 a week for sitting around eating beef jerky and getting to play with a little puppy all day. And then Addie took the words right out of my mouth and she says to Leah, you're stupid. Now, this I cannot condone. I've said it before, one day in my house and those girls would be singing zippity doodah on command and you would be able to eat off the floors. Leah is a lazy parent with discipline and that's going to come back to bite her in the ass, especially in those middle school years. So get ready, especially with that Gracie. Yikes. So Addie has no allowance and she's getting a 4-minute timeout. I never really had to do the timeouts because I run a pretty tight ship around here as it is. But I think Leah is doing it wrong because Addie doesn't seem to give a flying West Virginia fuck that she's sitting there. And then she starts singing, in California, can you take me to my mommy where I belong? I mean, if this little Addie was doing some subtle mind fuck on Leah, referring to Leah's anxiety camp in California last year, she's going to be giving Farrah's Sophia a run for her money in the Where Are They Now special in 15 years. Now, the new school year is starting, and Corey and Leah, I'm guessing mostly Corey, decide that the twins should be in separate classes. Producers find a somewhat literate friend to eat lunch with Leah so Leah can try to form a sentence on camera. And she's explaining to the friend that the girls need to learn their own identity, who they truly are, and being apart this year will help. Therapy will be good for Aaliyah with her feelings. Okay, so remember, Aaliyah is also Gracie, and therapy is going to be good for her feelings. Now, you could tell in that moment, Leah thought that she was going to sound smart if she used the word therapy thrown in there. Oh, and Allie got an aid this year. Probably something Leah should have advocated for 3 or 4 years ago. But later, Leah sees an episode of Paw Patrol where they had a picnic, so she decides to steal the idea and have a picnic with the girls. I'm not sure what kind of sandwich she was making, but I do not trust it. A woman who feeds her kids cold hot dogs and condensed soup from the can cannot possibly know about the refrigeration needs of jelly after it's been opened. Knowing this meal may bring diarrhea to the whole family, Gracie is trying to force feed berries or something to Addie by just literally throwing them down her gullet. I guess to die by choking is probably better than dying from diarrhea anyway. Finally, it's the first day of school. Leah has learned her lessons from seasons past when she had the girls up until midnight and didn't feed them breakfast. And when she was driving really high, she was driving anxious behind the wheel and getting the kids to school every day late. So now she's getting them fed and dressed. I am proud of you. Now, although Leah seemed a little slow in the car, maybe she just needed coffee, or maybe she's just delayed, generally speaking, but I was concerned. She's asking how they're feeling. Are they feeling scared, feeling nervous, feeling motivated? So Gracie asks, what does motivated means? And Leah says, you don't know what motivated means? And then Leah realizes she doesn't know either, and she never answers the question. That's our motivational speaker, guys. So she drops him off at the bus stop, which apparently is like 20 minutes away off a highway. Someone explain this to me. And then the girls climb over the front seat and out the driver's door. You know, it's always a good move to have your daughter who needs a wheelchair to be climbing through a car and dropping out the side of an SUV. Later, after school, the girls are at Corey's, thank God, and Corey's asking if they like school and being in separate classes. Allie says no, Gracie says yes, but I think it's just too early to say anyway. It's the first day and kids are resilient. The girls want to climb a tree and Corey answers, y'all's in your school clothes, you best not. That was adorable to me. Maybe because I like a man with a beard and a southern accent. I am hoping I don't have a crush on Corey. I don't think I do. I think it might just be my third cup of coffee and third mini Twix at 10 a.m. talking. So I'm just going to take that back altogether. Now, a girl that actually won't take anything back ever is Kaylin. Kale is back from St. Thomas and she's feeling better. I'm sure that has nothing to do at all with the fact that she had her fix of attention being thrown her way during that pointless hospital visit. She's tired because she had to go to Lowe's and get stuff for the baby. Oh, you mean you had to run errands like every other human? Poor Kale, she's just got it so rough in her SUV, house that she owns, an MTV paycheck for doing nothing but whining and going on vacations. And it's getting close and she can't believe she's having a third baby. You know, the third baby that she claimed she planned for and was absolutely not an accident. She's telling this all to her friend who's on the phone, and she's also filling us in that she doesn't do her hair and makeup anymore. She thought she was going to be this cute pregnant lady, but she can't make it work. You can't make it work, Kale. You don't work at anything. Her kids are gone all day. She has friends over 24/7. What is it that you cannot accomplish that the rest of us seem to be pretty able to do seamlessly? For some reason, exhausted Kale is now at her friend's house cleaning a pool. Because remember, she's so tired. Okay, attention whore. Her friend asks if she's doing okay, and this is how sweet old Kale responds. Yeah, I guess I'm okay because the baby's going to be here any day. Jesus, Kale, way to bite your friend's head off. She's such a victim, you guys. So basically what is happening is that baby daddy number 3, Chris, is supposed to be meeting her to go to her appointments and stuff. The last time he slept through his alarm, so now Kale has had enough. She doesn't have enough on him to file a protection order, which is her usual go-to method of choice. So now she has to go with plan B, also a close favorite of hers. Part of me thinks he doesn't deserve to be at the birth. Part of me thinks, fuck him, I don't want him there. This is so manipulative. It's like, you don't do what I want you to do, so I'm going to cut you out of your kid's life. Obviously, I don't know the whole backstory, but Kale has a pattern of doing this. She says she wishes she could be like Brianna and just cut Chris out of her life like Brianna did with Luis. That she could just see that he's not good for her and that she could just turn off her feelings for him. Well, well, well. Isn't that karma, Kale? Didn't you have an affair on Javi with Chris? And you wanted Javi to just up and move on when he still had feelings for you while you were still married? You see why it's not that easy now? So we get a scene with self-conscious Joe and his man boobs swimming in a shirt in his pool, and he's being a great dad. He's asking Isaac, is mommy's baby coming soon? You know, you're going to have to help mommy out. She's going to need your help. Make sure you follow the rules. You help with your little brother. I'll always be here for you, buddy. You're my best friend. Never in a million years would I think I would turn and like Joe, but it's happened. The day I go Team Janelle is the day you will need to put a 51-50 on me. Use this tape as evidence. In our final scene with Kale, she's on her way to a doctor appointment. And as always, she has her team of friends filling her house. She needs more attention even than that. So she's saying she's nervous about her appointment. And what if they say I need to have the baby today? Well, then you have the baby. This is your third one. You know the drill, Kaylin. You push, ice packs on your crotch, you go home, and you don't sleep for the next 2 years. She claims she doesn't know where Chris is, and it's not that she cares that he's with other girls. Yeah, right. It's that she's worried he won't pick up the phone because he never does, and he's unreliable. And what if she goes to the appointment, they admit her to be induced, and he doesn't show up? Then she pulls into the parking lot, and bam, here he is. I'm at the doctor. I'm going in. This happens all the time with Kale, and I wish people would start noticing. She claims she knows that Joe or Javi or Chris won't do XYZ, and she builds up all this drama around it. And then they do it, and it's like no remorse for talking shit, no recognition she was wrong or got too worked up about it. She is horrible. Now let's drive out to South Dakota, one of the last 2 states where no one has downloaded or listened to Welcome to Reality TV, but that's okay. It's probably for the best because snooze. Here we are with Chelsea. Chelsea and Aubrey go for a dress fitting for Aubrey, and when they get home, Chelsea and Cole talk about them needing to go on a honeymoon after their second wedding coming up. Can we just call it like it is? Chelsea wants to wear a wedding dress again, plain as that. They already had a wedding and a reception last year when they got married, but she was pregnant. Why are we all pretending and going along with this fake storyline that they never had that wedding? She wore a white dress, they had a party, the whole thing. But the year went by so fast, so crazy that they want to go on a honeymoon vacation so as soon as they come home, they can start popping more babies out. Cole kind of does a nervous giggle at that point, but I can't trash on him too much because he is a good stepdad to Aubrey, who has pretty much a dumpster fire of a bio dad. Her friend Chelsea, I think it's Chelsea Grace, shows up with enough bronzer on her face to lay a new layer of red dirt on a baseball field because they're going for their final fitting in Minneapolis. Once again, Chelsea's house is piled high with boxes and bags and food and candles and shit everywhere. I'm a clean freak, but even so, that would take me maybe 2 hours to get that place cleaned up. I would have panic attacks daily if I had to live in that place. Also, where's the pig? Do they even still have it? Anyway, the dress is super pretty, I have to admit. She looks amazing, she's slim, she's happy, good for her. But again, you're already married and you had a wedding. Also, when they walk out, if you look down, she was wearing furry slippers. Slippers. Stay classy, Chelsea. Okay, Brianna. This week in real time has not been a good one for Brianna. She came out last week as dating Javi, and then her Twitter may have been hacked because there were some graphic posts about her sex life. There was a falling out with all the other teen moms. It's a mess. Fill me in as you find out because it's hard to keep up with this one. Now, in this episode, we learned that baby Stella is okay, but Luis has had no contact with Brianna or Stella since he got piled on last week by Roxanne and Brittany. Over some donuts. God, I love donuts. I mean, you guys don't even know. I cannot wait for the day until I'm elderly. I don't have to worry about being too fat to walk or move because I'll be feeble in a wheelchair. I am going to drink wine and vodka and gin tonics all day and just stuff my face with donuts. Fingers crossed, God willing. Anyway, they're eating donuts, and Brianna and her friend are talking about Luis not coming around. And Brianna actually admits that he may be kind of intimidated because he got pretty pissed off that his mom and sister were yelling at him, piling on last week. So a point for her, at least she's aware of it. Her friend adds in that he doesn't like being told what to do either. True, but you know what? Does anyone like being told what to do? It does not give him an excuse to check the hell out of his kid's life. Just as Alva saw immediately, because Brianna's picker is broken, Brianna realizes it's true. Luis is another Devon. Now, speaking of Devon, Brianna hasn't sent in child support papers to legally serve Devon yet, but she's going to have to because Nova is starting kindergarten and she wants Devon to be more involved as he should be. So he comes over to the apartment to visit and we learn that MTV is still filming as this season started airing because Devon said that he just watched the first episode that aired and he's wondering about the situation between Luis and Brianna and Luis's cheating. Thankfully, Brianna doesn't give him too much ammo to use on her later, but she does give him a warning that he needs to be there physically and financially more from now on. There's an issue with him not having a license or a job, and if she puts a child support order on him, it'll prevent him from getting one or the other. So if they could just agree on a set amount that he must pay her per month, she'll hold off on that legal order. I say that's awfully nice of her. And yes, I am a Brianna apologist. I may very well see the error of my ways, and I'm open to that. But for now, I am on her side of this whole mess. So we get to school orientation day, where Nova sees her school. They sign up for after school care, which Devon has promised to pay. It's $185 plus a $25 fee. So Brianna tells him, and he goes, "So, like $120? I wanted to punch him in the fucking face. No, this isn't a situation to haggle, you jackass. It's a set price. So he only has $60 with him, and he claims he was going to pay the rest with the credit card. Yeah, because every elementary school cafeteria has a credit card system set up. Yes, I know there are those little square things. You could swipe your card and stuff, but come on. And it turns out he doesn't even have a credit card. So Brianna has to leave, go to the ATM to get the rest of the money. My question is, why didn't Devon go? I'm wondering if maybe he doesn't even have a bank account. Now, this ends up being the final straw because after talking with her sister Brittany later, Brianna decides to finally mail in the paperwork for legal child support from Devon. I say good, and that she should have really done it sooner because it's not about revenge, it's about your daughter. Well, here we are, another blushing bride, Janelle. Well, parolee Barbie is living her fantasy wedding shopping experience in New York. She's getting her future ex-stepdaughter a flower girl dress, and Jace is with the man who he tells his therapist he hates and is deathly afraid of, his future ex-stepdad, David. David decides to bond with Jace by telling him the woman who Jace loves, the woman who raised him, his meme Barbara, isn't invited to the wedding because your mom doesn't want to get into an argument. We want everyone to be happy. They're pretty much the 2017 Brady Bunch. Actually, it's more like the Bundy Bunch because it's like a real life making a murderer in that house. Take your pick of any of them, children and or the parents, of course. So they get all their outfits and they head back to the land and they ask Andre, the MTV security guard, if he will officiate their wedding. Because even God and the law said no when they asked elsewhere. They're laughing and smiling, and then David says to Andre, seriously and suddenly, we can skip the part where if anyone doesn't want them to get married, if you have to ask to not have that line said, it means that line probably should be said. Later that night, Janelle is showing her friend the land for the wedding, and she says they're pretty much all done. They just have to lay the sod. It's the last thing. No big deal. They're going to have the buffet over there, a light show, a dance floor. No cares in the world. Easy peasy. Cut to Barbara having lunch with her friend. She's back at the same seaside marina restaurant she was at when she was having drinks with the producer in the Being Barbara special. It's got to be her local hangout. So if you live in North Carolina, get yourself there and do some recon and report back. She tells her friend Donna that David and Janelle, they're getting married and that David has alienated her against Janelle and that they just need to get along for Jace's sake. And then the friend Donna goes rogue and starts going in on Barbara, telling her, you need to get along with David. You're just being stubborn. I don't think Barbara is perfect. Far from it. But I agree with her on this one. She says, it's too painful to be around them because she's still my daughter. I can imagine what it would be like to see my daughter making choices like Janelle does, but you still love her because she's your daughter. And to see an asshole like David be so controlling. So Donna, the friend, says, you said it's David, but now you're saying Janelle. You're confused. And then Barbara says, well, maybe you don't know him. It's how he is. To which her friend says, they want the people who support them to be there. Maybe you should shoot David a nice text. Fuck off, Donna. Babs, come here. Let's go have some red wine from a box and you can tell me all about your problems. I want to hear about your ex-boyfriend Mike and that itching powder you poured on his stuff. And we'll laugh and laugh and laugh. Now, the real good dirt, literally and figuratively, back on the land, Janelle is laying sod. She tells us that in the next 24 hours, what David has to do is get the sod laid. Oh, and they have a DJ dance floor coming, and hay, and string lights. And then suddenly, a camera still shot of the outside of her house, and Janelle is inside screaming at a producer. I have no friends at all. I can't have 5 minutes with David because he won't answer his phone. His friends were going to help lay the sod, and now they aren't here. My friends can't come until tomorrow, dude. We get a fun little time-lapse film of them working quickly. And then we see Janelle chasing David in the Bobcat. He was one split second from running her over had the cameras not been there as evidential proof. Janelle is having a full-out temper tantrum, acting like a middle schooler, screaming, "Until he acts like I exist, I'm not filming. I want him to talk to me. I want him to ask what's wrong with me, but he doesn't care." What the fuck does Janelle want him to do? Cuddle her and get high while his clone magically gets all the sod laid for her dream wedding? So David screams back, "I have work to do." Never to be out-victimized, Janelle rebuts with, "I have to go get Jace. I have to go get Kaiser." Oh, you mean the kids you chose to bring into the world and are fighting to get custody of? Yeah, what pains in the ass, huh? So she tries another tactic to get sympathy and attention and pulls the, "I'm sitting here thinking about my mom in my head," but again, your choice not to have her there, sweetheart. So the two of them go into the murder shed and they come out demanding MTV leave immediately. The producer is like, "We paid for exclusive rights to film this wedding, so when are we coming back because you already cashed the check?" Janelle has no answers when they come back because she doesn't even know if there's going to be a wedding. Now, we all know that there ends up being a wedding, but I'm still fascinated by the series of homicidal and the second degree events that are leading up to it. Next week, we see the wedding and Roxanne standing up in a booth getting ready to beat Devon's ass. So be sure to tune in. Breaking news from the Welcome to Reality TV news desk. First, it is confirmed that Amber Portwood of Teen Mom OG fame is pregnant again. She and her new boyfriend of a few months, Andrew Glennon, are expecting a baby together. I haven't dove deep on him yet, but he does look a little older. It will be his first child and her second. Of course, she has Leah already, who I think is 8. And MTV has known for a while that she's pregnant because her morning sickness was the reason she wasn't there for Teen Mom OG filming a few weeks ago. Crossing my fingers, this guy isn't a Matt 2.0. Okay, so 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. Courtney was on her Instagram Live on Halloween afternoon. And guess who she was on with? Abby. Abby's still in the Dominican Republic. They did this split screen thing. I took notes as I watched and I was live reporting in the Welcome to Reality TV Facebook page because there were some real good nuggets of behind the scenes information, of which I shall share with you now. So I was reporting this in real time, so go with me. So Courtney definitely got some upper lip filler. That was very obvious. Abby and Sean have actually been engaged for 5 months. He proposed back in July. Sean is moving in with Abby for sure to either Haiti or the Dominican Republic, and they will not be applying for the K-1 visa. She has no desire to live in the U.S. Courtney was then shilling Abby's online shop, saying she has cute shoes, $20, purses, $20. Yeah, we know, Courtney. It's all cheap Walmart crap that she's marking up. We don't need to order it from Abby from the Dominican, you idiot. But if you're interested to check it out, Courtney linked it. And on Instagram, Abby's store is at Abby_store_Haiti. Abby_store_Haiti. Abby just said, "Why do people think I'm always in a bad mood? That's just my face," which I about died laughing at. Abby's parents never met Chris. Her dad didn't like that Sean was older than Abby's mom, but they do like him now. Abby and Chris do still talk. She sends him photos that people take of Chris out in the wild, and Chris thinks it's funny, but he doesn't have any social media, so he doesn't even hear what people say about him. Courtney tells her parents that she's famous now, but nothing really has changed much. She does get some hate, but not too much. She said people notice her when she's at Disney World or SeaWorld and once in the customs line at the airport. Abby's gotten a lot of racist comments. Courtney reports that Before the 90 Days would have been number one in the time slot, but Game of Thrones came on, so Antonio and Courtney still talk every day. They text, and he may come to visit, but they're not engaged or getting married or anything like that, and that they still date people, don't date people, whatever. Abby and Sean, get ready for this one. You're going to need to sit down. Are planning on having two babies. Oh, God. Courtney doesn't want to have any kids herself because she already babysits her nieces and she's so exhausted when she's done. And quote, when you have your own kid, you have to watch it all the time. So it's probably a good thing she doesn't. Abby stayed in Chris's condo in the Dominican Republic. This is actually really, I don't know if it's juicy, but it's very informative. She was staying in Chris's condo in the Dominican Republic, not because she was still having a relationship with him, but when the camera crew left Haiti, she was getting men, probably kind of like neighborhood gangster guys, showing up at her and her parents' house demanding that she give them money, that they know that she has money there. She has men visit her and were threatening her and her family. So she had to leave to keep herself and her family safe. So she went to Dominican, where Chris has a condo. I'll get back to that in a later because she does give him more information about that too. Courtney then gives us information about she and Antonio filming in Spain. Everyone thought they were movie stars because she's tall and blonde and they had six camera guys with them everywhere. Courtney thought that the reunion went well for her and Antonio, but that she giggled too much. Producers told Abby not to wear her engagement ring during the reunion, which pissed Abby off because she's been wearing it for 5 months. Antonio might come live in the U.S. for a little bit to go to school. And when people asked how old is he, he's 31. You know, the perfect time to go back to school. Courtney is asking if we want to buy Antonio calendars. So let her know if you're interested because she's definitely interested in shilling them. Abby then started talking about her scabies. She said that she and Chris and another couple went on a trip to the mountains and they all got scabies. And no, they weren't having an orgy. She said they must have gotten it from the sheets or something. And then our world traveler expert Courtney gave a little tip that maybe people should travel with their own sheets. Wow, like we've never heard that one before. Thanks, Court. My favorite thing Courtney asked was, why does everyone think she has a glass eye? Moment of silence so you can laugh before I continue. Okay. Abby also let us know that producers actually found Sean and kind of courted him because they found he had an international dating board on Pinterest. The producers found him on Pinterest. That's right. Courtney said that she would actually like to be a hooker or a stripper. She doesn't think it's bad at all that they get too much judgment. She wishes she could do that with her life because they make, quote, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she denies that Antonio is an escort. Courtney thinks that Paul is a weirdo, and she thinks Carini probably thought, what the fuck? And then she gives us this little analogy. Imagine a Chinese guy came here and acted like Paul. It would be like, what the hell? Courtney also, quote, has a pretty strong resume. She basically said she wants to travel to South America, South Asia for another 2 years and then get a finance job or become a flight attendant because she got a degree and she thinks she is the next Bill Gates. So Chris also was charging Abby $500 to stay in his condo because she was unsafe there. And that she felt should have been explained at the reunion that she told producers, but they left that part out. And then Courtney taught us about European lifestyle. She told us that Europe doesn't have air conditioning or clothes dryers. That's her quote, not mine. Even Abby was questioning her because she said, well, in Haiti and the Dominican Republic, we've always had air conditioning. That's strange to me. And then Courtney continues to generalize, saying that all Spaniards take forever to fix things like air conditioning because they just have siestas all afternoon and nothing is open on Sunday. Again, her quote, not mine. And then Courtney got yelled at by her mom because her mom could hear her from the other room because, yeah, she's back living with her parents. And we also got to see her parents at the end. She did a little drive-by. We got to see her mom and her dad wave to the camera. And Courtney also gave Abby a heads up that she may need to keep their wedding secret because they're going to have haters come and ruin their wedding, like they're J-Lo or something. Now, Courtney's going to continue traveling. She may go to Dubai or Saudi, but quote, Saudi isn't ready for me, and I couldn't deal with not drinking any alcohol. Okay, that's been a long one. It was so worth it. I encourage you to watch those Instagram lives. It's long, but it's incredible, and the information this girl spills is priceless. Thanks for joining me today. I know we're all over the place, so thanks for sticking with me. I'll be dropping part two of my chat with Carrie from the Sip and Shine podcast tomorrow. We'll talk about our personal ghost stories, Real Housewives, and play my favorite game, Would You Rather? Check me out on Facebook and Instagram. Welcome to Reality TV. Ask to join. We're having a blast over there. I'm on Twitter at Reality TV Pod. Have an awesome day, you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.